Welcome to this episode of the Grace and Grit podcast, where we candidly discuss one more topic relevant to women in today's culture. True femininity requires both the grace to honor those around us and the grit to stand for truth. I'm passionate about both and so happy to have you here. For additional information or contact options, you can find me on Facebook or Instagram, or follow my blog at sarah-daigle.org.
Hello, friends. This is Carolyn Klicka with Abounding Joy Ministry, and I'm here again with Sarah Daigle, author and speaker. We're here with episode number 4 of Grit and Grace. And Sarah, tell everyone what our topic is today. I'm excited.
I'm excited too. The topic is hospitality, and I'm so excited to talk about this with you because I was in your home recently and you are such an amazing hostess. I felt warm, welcome. What did you do? You took me to the kitchen. We made tea and then sat in your office, and there's all of those beautiful wooden statues from, is it Israel?
Yes, mostly Bethlehem.
And I was so amazed. I'd never seen a collection like that. But what I remembered most was just the warmth of your home. Mm-hmm. And we got to sit there and just share the most vulnerable things about our lives and encourage each other. And I left so encouraged and just really invigorated to continue showing hospitality in my own home. And so I would like to start by hearing your story of how I know you came to Charlotte as a single woman with like no kids, no cat, no dog. Like you said, not even a turtle or a goldfish.
No turtle, nothing.
That was 8 years ago. And you somehow created a community, a beautiful community, to where now you have a ton of people in your home all the time. You throw retreats, you host really, really well, and you're surrounded with this network of people. And I know that didn't just happen by accident. So I would love to hear your story on that, even if it takes the whole 30 minutes we have. Oh,
gosh, no need for it to take that long. But yes, I came to Charlotte, moved here for a job. I came by myself. My 5 children were very young adults at that time, and my whole world had blown up. I went through a tragic, unwanted divorce. I lost my company, my job, my identity, my income, my friends, my community, my home. I lost virtually everything. So wow. I was in emotional and psychological devastation. And God called me to the promised land of Charlotte, which seemed to me like in a far universe, coming all the way from Wisconsin. And so for that reason, I came alone. And it's something that, you know, I don't recommend to people. You know, it's not the best option. It actually was the only option. It was what God called me to. And so although I came with no one, I came with the Lord. He came with me. And I had the sense at that time that like Abraham, I'm nothing like Abraham, but like Abraham called, God called Abraham into the promised land. I felt really strongly that God was calling me to Charlotte and that this is where I would stay the rest of my life. And I guess that remains to be seen, but that's the feeling I had at the time.
Yeah.
Problem was, I knew only one person, and I had come in to, you know, to do a job in Catholic publishing, and I didn't know anyone else. And so I felt like my roots were just cut off. And, you know, any plant, if you cut off all the roots, the plant dies. And I felt like I was right on the brink because I was so vulnerable and so desolate at that time. And I realized that I needed to take action in order to, you know, create a community, in order to make friends and reestablish those roots. And so I did what I probably never imagined doing. I invited all 60 people who all, everyone at work, plus everyone I knew, like neighbors, or maybe I just ran into somebody at the grocery store or whatever, invited about 60 people and said, come on over and we're going to have a cookout for Memorial Day. If you're in town, love to have you. Well,
that's awesome.
There were a lot of no's. We're out of town, we're traveling, this and that. And a lot of people just did not respond. They didn't say yes or no. And that can be really discouraging. But there were 12 people who showed up. And we had a wonderful time. And then word got out what a great party it was. And someone said to me something I'll never forget. They said, do you know the last time anyone has invited me to their home?
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So long. And I could just see that, like, it really touched them deeply. And I didn't realize, like, I didn't have that idea. Truth be told, I invited them for selfish reasons, but I clearly saw that it was so meaningful for all of them too, even though they weren't new to Charlotte and they had already a somewhat of a network. But everyone we know, I would say, doesn't have as full or as intimate or as deep a network of people as maybe they would desire.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So inviting those people was really a gift to them and certainly a gift to me. And so it encouraged me so much to just continue inviting. And I guess that's one of the charisms that God has given me through no merit of my own, is connectedness. And so I like to connect people, I think like you do. And so I just continued to invite and ask people, let's go to coffee. Do you want to get dinner? Do you want to come over for tea? And I lived just in a little, just a small home at that time. But gradually, by being active in my parish, St. Matthew, and just inviting people like crazy and not paying any attention if they said no. In other words, I didn't receive that as rejection. And there was one woman that I had this sense that we were going to be great friends, and I really pursued, and I would text her and invite her. And it was no, 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 no. Like, oh yeah, I would love to, you know, you're amazing. Ah, we really like each other, but she wasn't in a position. And so we never did really, that friendship didn't get off the ground because we weren't in the same place. She was in a different place than I was. And I was sad about that, but I realized that not everyone that you want to be friends with in a given season, it's not, there can't be a connection all the time. And so what we need to do is just invite the Lord to bring people across our path that we are intended to, to invite, to become friends with, even intimate friends with. So anyway, that was the beginning of me having a pretty active and wide circle of friends who are inspiring and wonderful and have been such a blessing to me. And Sarah, I count you as one of those very treasured friends.
Wow, I am honored by that. And I see so much maturity in your story, because instead of sitting there, a lonely, self-pitying victim, you reached out and you made yourself vulnerable. So in one of the most vulnerable seasons of your own life, where you could have feared rejection more than ever, mm-hmm. you put yourself in a position where you knew there was potential for more rejection, but you also knew there was potential for love and connection. And so I think that shows, like, just the depth of your character and the quality of your spirit is so strong and established that you were able to do that. Another thing that stands out to me is just how you didn't wait to be invited. You actively invited. And it's very easy as a new person to hope that local people will want you here and will invite you to their space and their gatherings and stuff. But instead, you didn't even wait for that. You just invited people in that were already in your world. And I think that's huge. And honestly, I think that that is one of the biggest things that are often missing when people live lives of chronic loneliness. They're kind of waiting for to be invited rather than being the initiator and the inviter and pursuing for themselves. So I love that. That is so beautiful what you just shared.
Thank you. And I know you also were uprooted and came to Charlotte. So what was that experience like for you, Sarah?
Well, it's kind of the same for me in that I lost everything. I had a beautiful home. I had amazing friends. When I moved to Washington State, I made wonderful friends overnight. Like, I didn't even have to try. They were just there. I would meet them on the beach or at church, and they became what you call lifelong, nothing can ever tear us apart kind of friends.
Beautiful.
And I lost all of that. When I needed to move away with my children, I lost not only my home, but I lost my friends and my community and my church and just a ton of opportunities that were opening up for me that were in line with what I felt like God wanted me to do. It was all opening up. And then, like you, it all came crashing and burnt. And I put my kids on a plane and I flew them from the West Coast to the East. And started from scratch. And like you, I knew one person here. Well, one family here in this area. That was right before COVID-19 hit, actually.
Oh, my goodness.
And yeah, I did. I felt just like you. I felt like my roots were completely cut off. My friends took me to a church, and there, what I did was I joined places in the church. So rather than wait for people to come to me, I took note of what I was still interested in, what I felt able to do, and I would join those groups of people who were already doing things at my church. So, you know, they didn't have to invite me into their homes. They didn't have to anything in order for me to connect with them. And I think that's one thing I want to talk about. This is huge. I feel like, people don't have to pursue you and invite you to their things in order for you to connect. It's nice when they do. It's really nice when they do. And people did, but if I had stopped with that, I would have really missed out. So, I joined the worship team. I joined a women's ministry team, and I just really tried hard to integrate into whatever was going on. Because when you move to a new area, like you said, you might spot somebody who you think, wow, she's going to be an amazing friend. Well, guess what? The reason you notice that person is she's really amazing, and she probably has a million and one things already going on.
Right.
And might be too booked to fit a new person into her life. So I learned that very quickly. There's different cultures. The Western culture is not as generational. Like here, there are generations of families and structures and communities set in place for so many generations that they're so deeply integrated with each other already. Whereas out West, you have random pockets of people, and there's more openness. It's very easy to be needed and wanted and integrated into friendships and families and churches, different than sometimes here. And so even just understanding the difference between Southern and Northern cultures, like, you really have to step outside of yourself and try to gain an understanding of what's going on around you in order to make it work for you.
Yeah, that's true. And I think I had the advantage of coming to St. Matthew, even though, as you know, the largest Catholic church in the United States, I had decided before I came to Charlotte that that would be the one church I would not attend because I came from a little bitty rural church, and it was overwhelming for me. But the Holy Spirit just kept drawing me to it, and so I got involved there like you did at your church, and I went to a retreat. Christ Renews His Parish, you know, a women's retreat. And I thought, I don't know anything about this retreat, this program. Maybe it's kind of lame. Maybe it's fabulous. I don't know, but I want to spend some time with the Lord, and I have got to get to know more people. So I went, and that was a fabulous experience. So I highly recommend not only Christ Renews His Parish, but being involved in your local church, because that's where like-minded people are. And those like-minded people are probably, you know, not maybe not all, but, you know, most people don't ever say, I have enough friends. You know, I've got, you know, most people are lonely and looking for either more connections or a deeper connection.
Yes. So, and most people who are doing, ministry groups, they are looking for people to help. So that's a really good way for somebody new to get integrated. Some of the funnest times for me were our Friday night homeless ministry. And we would go, and I would be exhausted from work, but I'd just walk into our church and help serve up the chicken and sit with homeless, you know, homeless men and women. Sometimes there were just men, a whole night with just men, and all of us would just be there, not only enjoying each other's company, but also just trying to integrate them as friends. Connection. Hospitality is all about connection. And we focused on connection. We just sit down and eat dinner with them. Who cares what we talked about as long as we were there talking, showing love. And that was such a learning experience for me in so many ways. But one of the things was just to drive the lesson deeper that I don't need to sit here waiting for people to pursue me. I can actively step out and join very useful things. And the leaders, the people planning those and heading those things up, are usually overwhelmed and overjoyed for somebody to join and help. And that was huge for me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That reminds me of St. Paul to the Hebrews, where he says, he talks about the law of hospitality in scripture. He says, let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. And the stranger could be someone who's homeless. The stranger could be your neighbor next door. It could be somebody at the grocery store. It could be somebody sitting, you know, in your church with you. It really could be anyone. And, you know, you think of all the examples of hospitality in scripture, how Abraham entertained the three strangers, but not in a mild, like, oh, let me find a crust of bread for you. No, Abraham entertained those three guests in a like over the top way. I mean, he really rolled out the red carpet, so to speak. And wasn't he rewarded for that?
Yes. Wow. Yeah. He killed, what does it say? He killed the fatted calf. He gave it the very best. And I can picture you doing that in your home when you throw your parties. I mean, first of all, your home's beautiful. I can totally picture you just laying out the most wonderful spread of food and just having, I mean, I know you've invited me a few times, and I want to make it because I want to see what you do.
Oh gosh. Well, I can't wait until the stars align so that the timing works for you to come. But I also just wanted to share how, you know, that's what St. Paul said, but Jesus also ties hospitality into his description of who will inherit heaven. He said, come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. In prison, and you came to me. Truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of these, my brethren, you did it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and I think we do have homeless among us, you know, like the ministry you were talking about. And certainly we think of the homeless as the poor and people that we need to feed. But, you know, Saint Mother Teresa said that the greatest poverty that there is loneliness. And
yes.
So if we think about, I was hungry for companionship and for love and for presence,
mm-hmm.
and you gave me your presence. So if you think about it that way, I think that's also tied into what Jesus was really intending, you know, when he talked about hospitality, to open ourselves and to receive people in love.
Yes. You know, Diane Dreher says that chronic loneliness is as bad for your health as smoking up to 15 cigarettes a day.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That, I mean, yeah, I mean, that reminds me of the horrific experiment, social experiment that was done in Eastern Europe some decades ago. I can't think of the specifics, but I believe it was in Romania, where they took, in an orphanage, they took a room full of infants, and they were instructed to feed them and change them, but not talk to them, look at them, or touch them. And you heard about that. And so they were fed, they had food, water, and they were clothed and all of that. But each and every one of those babies died. They didn't just languish, they actually died. And that's because we need intimacy and we need attention and companionship. And, you know, in our culture today, I mean, people are dying because of suicide and they're languishing, but it's up to you and I, as Christians, as daughters of the Father, to channel his love to those who we come in contact with, whether it's the cashier in the grocery store, whether it's our next door neighbor, anyone who God brings along on our path, I think should be welcomed. And we have that opportunity. We're not going to invite the cashier to our home. Hey, come home with me. Of course, there's social restrictions and all of that, but we can still encourage and uplift that person without, and give them a sense of affirmation and belonging, even though we're not inviting them into our home.
Yes. Yeah. And I saw a beautiful example of that just this week. I was out to breakfast with a friend, and she, just the waitress, checking out, you know, paying for breakfast, she just struck up a conversation with the waitress so beautifully, and just talking about nothing, you know, work, just taking a real interest in the life of this woman who was serving us breakfast on a Monday morning. And it was so beautiful to me because, again, you know, there was no inviting her home for a dinner or anything like that. There was just, I want to connect with you. I care about you as a person that I don't even know on a Monday morning over pancakes, you know. And I was really surprised to read that Gen Z, 18 to 22, they're among the loneliest groups in our culture. We don't think about that. We think of them as running off to college, starting their careers. But even they, and I think part of that's due to technology, because even though we feel like we're connecting with so many people online, we really need to connect face to face with people. So that kind of goes back to, you know, talking to people we meet, saying hi to our neighbors, inviting people into our home. It's all about interaction, looking for that connection and interaction everywhere we go.
Yes. And, you know, John Paul II talked so much about the dignity of the human person. And in one of his homilies, he said, like the disciples of Emmaus, believers, supported by the living presence of the risen Christ, become in turn the traveling companions of their brothers and sisters in trouble, offering them the word that rekindles hospitality in their hearts. With them, they break the bread of friendship, of brotherhood, and mutual help. And isn't that beautiful? It speaks not to just being neighborly and hospitable to people who we might come in contact with, but also people whom we serve, you know, yes. And to be a companion to our brothers and sisters and to treat everyone with hospitality and mutual respect by putting our faith into action as we serve them. And serving them could be in any capacity. It's up to us to serve or substitute the word love everyone on our path.
Yes. And I'd like to add to that everyone, you know, the homosexual as much as a heterosexual. Like there should be no discrimination when it comes to showing love.
I totally agree.
Yeah. Interacting and just blessing, like you said, human dignity. Mm-hmm. That's how God treats us. That's how God treats everyone. His love is here calling everyone. And so should ours should be too.
It's unconditional, the love he gives us. He went to dine with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, the sinner. He loved him and he accepted him. He didn't like that Zacchaeus was cheating people. He didn't affirm that, but he accepts us and loves us regardless of what we do or fail to do, because he has first loved us. Mm-hmm. But Sarah, so what are some other ways that we can host other people without inviting them into our homes?
Oh, gosh, I think I use my phone. We hear a lot about phone addictions, but what about phone community? I hear a lot of, oh, I'm not on social media because it's addicting or it eats up too much of my time. But I use social media to connect with people I could never connect with otherwise. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that. Also, during the day when I'm at work and a person pops into my head, I might just pause work for 2 minutes and send out a quick text. Mm-hmm. Or I might put in my earbuds and call somebody while I'm at work. And that all helps me to create a community and to show people that I'm thinking of them, that I care about them, and that I want them in my life and I want to connect with them today. So that's just one way. But even recently, I feel like I've gotten a little reclusive, like with my neighbors and stuff. To where it's easy to just kind of quickly come inside, you know? I feel like that's our culture. You know, we go to work, we pull our cars up to our garages, and we run inside. But I have some neighbors who are really good at, I live in a cul-de-sac, and it's full of some amazing families, and they are so good at stopping whatever they're doing and talking with each other. I'll see them here and there and everywhere, and they're just, it's like they have their own little community here. And so I was just reminding myself of that recently, like really stop to say hi to the little neighbor kid who wants to show me his bike, you know?
Yes, that's very important. That's the number one thing on their mind. And they want to have someone to share that joy with.
It's connection and interaction. All of it comes down to the human need to connect. And we were created by that because God is a connecting God.
Yes.
He created us to connect to him. And then he created a whole bunch of humans to connect to each other and to connect to him. So we're designed for vertical and horizontal connections. And our society is walking away from connection. Even like the amount of single people from 25 to 55 now is skyrocketed in numbers from some years back. And they predict I forget how many years from now, they predict that 70% of people from 25 to 55 will be single. And so this
There's
is
a lot of lonely people out there.
Yeah, this is by a Christian woman who promotes marriage and helps people, you know, get together. And she's all about marriage because our society doesn't do very well with so many lonely single people. Instead of helping whole families, creating this community for children and for each other. And but that really spoke to me, like just the rise in singlehood shows the individualistic nature of our culture, the humanistic selfish nature in marriages, you know, that caused divorces to start with, and then maybe the fear and just the internalization of our loneliness rather than reaching out and, you know, being able to connect with other people.
Yeah, that, you know, we all seek intimacy, that close connection of knowing and being known. And so, you know, we desire that, or we crave that, even if we don't know about it, we crave that with God, sometimes not knowing what that is, but we certainly crave that with others. We crave being known, being seen, belonging, being accepted, and having those connections. And you're right. I think as a culture, with the rise of social media, it's almost like a disconnecting media, because while you can connect easier on a like a non-intimate basis of being able to send a note to maybe somebody you graduated with and have a connection that way, there's no intimacy there. And so we spend our time, you know, with all of this superficial communication, and we're not getting the intimacy. And I think intimacy requires consistency. It requires being with someone repeatedly. And so the people that we feel close to are the people that we have been with, that we have spent time with. And so, you know, when we're thinking about our friendships and developing them and hosting, I think it's important to have consistency as well, because it's the consistent coming together and being together that develops that connection and that bond. I think some of my closest friends here in Charlotte are the ones that would come to my monthly gatherings month after month after month. And that just, it was just like, it just cemented us together. And so I'm so grateful for that. And we have, I think, about 2 minutes left. I don't know if you want to talk about any other tips for hosting well in our homes, or if you wanted to close with any other thoughts.
Well, I want to honor my parents for just a few minutes here. They had 10 children, and still I grew up watching them add a plate or two or three or four or five to our very long table full of simple food. And I remember, you know, someone walking in saying, "You guys eat like kings." And I'd be like, "Wait, what?" Like, we grow our own food. We make all of our own food. To me, it wasn't king's food at all, but yet people loved my parents' table. It was long, it was loaded, and everyone sat around the table. My mom made a point to set the table for each meal and put, you know, food in the center to where nobody had to get up from the table unless it was to grab, you know, something to serve everyone else with. And then we just created meal times as a time for connection and talking and catching up with our day. But they were so good at bringing other people into that. And we just squeeze those chairs together and make room for one more. And there was always extra food because, you know, so many people, you have to cook a lot.
Yeah.
So there's leftovers, and there was always food for one or two more people. And I love that example. And that's what I want for my home.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, it's been a delight to talk with you, Sarah, about hospitality and connection. And I hope it just is an encouragement to our listeners out there to ask ourselves, who do I need to invite? Who do I need to be Christ to? And what are ways that God has equipped me to be hospitable and to connect with people and to channel the love of Christ to them? So thanks for being with us, Sarah. This is Carolyn Klicka from Abounding Joy Ministry. And God love you all. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Carolyn.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Grace and Grit podcast. For more information or contact options, you can find me on Facebook and Instagram or follow my blog at sarah-daigle.org.